Okay, good morning. And greetings to you, family in Christ, sisters and brothers, saints and sinners, children of God. Now, do you remember your dreams when you wake up in the morning?
No.
I don't always remember mine either. But there's one recurring dream that I have, one of them. And it's probably one of those that a dream analyst would have a good time with. In it, I am somehow flying. Now, whether or not I leaped out of a window, or I just started off the ground, or I jumped off a building, or whether I just find myself in the middle of the dream that I'm flying, that's what I'm doing. And I'll be high up in the air, and then I'll see all sorts of landscapes down below me. Maybe it's farmland, maybe it's water, maybe it's city blocks. In any case, I'm high up in the air, and there's a feeling of complete weightlessness that's come across me. And I'm moving at a really fast speed, too. And then sometimes, when I'm in the middle of this dream, I realize that I shouldn't be able to fly at all. It's entirely impossible for me to be up in the sky over landscape. And I suddenly begin to drop out of the air. Now, if I'm lucky, I'm going to realize as I'm falling that I'm dreaming, and I'll be able to wake up right then. But sometimes, and there's been a few times when I've actually just kept falling, and I would wake up with a start, my heart would be beating because I would be rescued from another falling from being flying out of the air. Now, I don't know if other people have dreams like this, where you're flying or maybe doing something else, some other impossible thing that you might be doing. And you remember that it's not something that you should possibly be able to do. And you're suddenly no longer able to do it. Now, I've found in the past when I've had dreams like this, it usually relates to some event in my life, one thing or another, that I find myself in the real world doing something that I'd never imagined that I was able to do and really shouldn't be doing it at all and really question the fact that I was doing it. Now, my sisters and brothers, I am so pleased to be here at Church of the Cross, preaching here before you today. Now, I've actually been in this church a couple times. I've been inside the sanctuary here a couple times before, on two different occasions. But I can't possibly give you a figure for how many times I've actually been on this church property. Because I have 9.5 years, clean and sober, via a 12-step program. And for me, the distance from the last time I used is no perfect guarantee that I can ever pick up a chemical again successfully. And so I have to make meeting attendance a mandatory part of my recovery. And I attend a number of different groups, or I have over the years attended a number of different groups that meet on this church property. As most of you know, there are a lot of 12-step programs that meet here. And then in that process, I've gotten to know a number of people who have graced the meeting rooms of the program I attend. And if there's something consistent to say about people who come into the fellowship, it is that many, if not most of them, wind up going out again and going out, or when I say going out, I mean using drugs or alcohol or some other substance. And some of those people don't ever make it back again before getting locked up or losing everything. And over the years, I've even known a few people who have died while using or as a direct result of the drugs that they were using. Now, addiction, like so many other things in life, is a hard road to travel. It can shape how you perceive things around you, even if you have some time clean in a program like the one that I attend. You get used to people dying. And you get used to people using, and you get used to people acting out on a whole lot of different behaviors that you don't think is really good. And for a long time, I was unwilling to put more than one or two people in my life who were what we call newcomers, because I did not want to make an emotional investment with someone for whom the chances of staying clean were less than half. Even though I would engage in what we call sponsorship, the process of sharing my own experience, strength, and hope with the 12 steps, as none of the people who asked me to sponsor them seemed either to take the program seriously, or me, or both, I had little enough faith that anyone I invested time in would actually stick around. Now, that was me a few years ago. But now there's been something that's happened in my life lately. The more I identify myself with being a Christ-centered person, the more I pray for my will to be more aligned with God's will, the more I accept my mission and ministry that God has called me to do, the more God puts people in my life that challenge the very faith I've been given. Now, although we like to call them newcomers, some of them, in fact, have been around for quite a while. And for that time, for whatever reason, that old evil that we call addiction keeps dragging them back for more. And they keep our program going, because if it wasn't for newcomers, the rest of us would just keep adding on time and forgetting what it was like to be new. And I have started to open my heart up to people who are struggling, despite the fact that it means when they make a decision to pick up something that is going to send them into the same free fall they were in before, which may bring them into dereliction, depravity, detainment, and even death, and that my heart twists along with it. But I make an emotional investment nonetheless. Something inside of me knows that miracles can happen and do happen for me, for those I love, for all the people around me. And there is a chance of a last time for each and every one of us to change our lives. And that God works in amazing and wondrous ways. And there is hope for the future. It is something that tells me to go on caring, despite the fact that some days I feel when I watch other people suffer that I am sinking right along with them. Like Peter, in today's gospel from the book of Matthew, and his action after seeing this man that he's come to know, this Jesus who does these wonderful things, walking on water. Now, the miracle of Jesus walking on water is so well known, it's given rise to cliche terms. Now, if you know somebody that's been said to be walking on water, what you're saying, oh, that person walks on water. What you're basically saying is that they can do no wrong, that they are an epitome of something, or at least in your eyes. And it is no wonder that we have gotten to know this miracle story so well, because this miracle happens not in one gospel, but in three: Matthew, Mark, and John. Now, if you're not familiar with the account, or if you came in after we read the gospel, or if you weren't listening, let me summarize it a little bit. Now, if you were in church last week, you might have heard, by virtue of Jesus' command, a miracle story about 5 loaves and 2 fish, which are shared among 5,000 men and women and children, 5,000 men plus women and children. And now the disciples are instructed to go on ahead of Jesus across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus finally gets some time to himself to meditate and contemplate, where people aren't running all over the place after him. And he sets himself to prayer. Cut to the disciples. They're traveling across the water. High winds batter the boat that they are traveling in. And they're not getting where they want to be going. And suddenly there's this figure coming across the water, looking to them like a ghost, because this is just not physically possible. And Jesus says, "It's me." Anyone, when confronted with the supernatural, would be afraid. And while Jesus tells them not to fear, this account itself can be rather peculiar to Matthew, because only in Matthew do we have a response from Peter. You won't find this in Mark or John. It is only in Matthew that we see Peter, who's just not convinced of what he sees before his eyes, telling Jesus to command him to come out to walk alongside of him. And so when Jesus says, come, Peter follows Jesus' command, and here he is out on the water walking toward Jesus himself. But something happens in Peter's head. He realizes just what's going on and says, wait a minute, I should not be here walking on water. And he starts to sink. And then he cries out, Lord, save me. Now, when we read this gospel, some people have taken it to be some kind of put down on Peter. You know, Peter the fool, he's an idiot. He's just walking out there, you know, asking Jesus to prove things to him. But in Peter's defense, you know, if anyone should have faith in this story, in the gospel, it would be Peter. But this is such an incredible miracle. Really, how long has he known Jesus to begin with? And despite the fact that we've seen miracles of healing, and then there's the one of the loaves, this whole walking on water thing, this defies the very laws of gravity and physics. Not that they had laws of gravity and physics in those days, but that's beside the point. And so it becomes hard to realize that the evidence before Peter's eyes is actually happening, and doubt creeps in. And so Peter must be saved. Now, I think any of us as human beings, when we are confronted with a miracle right there before us, find it easy to doubt and question what has become of us. Now, I can always point to the first time I went to a meeting. There was no one obvious reason I should be there. I actually had a job. I actually was living in an apartment. I was still paying my bills. And yet, I was in denial about my drug use. I had myself convinced that all my misery, all my problems were the result of people around me. If I just changed my friends, if I just changed my social structure, if I just changed the bars I went to, whatever my problems were, they were related to those things and not my drug use. And so when I took a chance and went to a meeting, I don't know. Nobody told me to do that. I find it was a miracle that sent me there. And you know what? I didn't make it the first time I went to a meeting. You know, I came back still without hitting what we call rock bottom. And so what happened for me when I started working these steps is that my life began to change. I began to become willing to do things I never thought possible. I wrote stories. I wrote a couple short stories that were published. I got hired at a job for one of the top websites on the internet that had me attend conferences on several continents. And because I was developing a spirituality, I found myself renewing a call from my childhood to become a pastor in the Lutheran church. And each time I did something different, I struggled to reconcile the person that I thought I was deep down inside, this person that never should have done these things. I struggled with recognizing myself for who I was, who I saw in the mirror. And I continued to have dreams where I was flying. And some of those dreams, I didn't stop flying. Even though Peter foolishly asked Jesus to make this miracle for him, to bring him out onto the water, Jesus, loving Jesus, does what Peter commands him to do. And at the core of it, even though Peter starts to drop, and he has to ask Jesus to save him, he helps Peter remove that doubt. God helps us remove the doubt that we ourselves, despite our own poor self-image, despite the fact that we think so little of ourselves so often, God gives us the courage and strength to see through these poor perceptions and give us the grace to be the miracle, the loving, godly child that we are meant to be. And while many of times we fail at some of the things we look to accomplish, because none of us gets a perfect life, you know, we find the evidence of a loving God in our lives who makes those miracles happen. All we need to do is look and see them around us. This God, who, having loved us so much to send his Son to die for us, so that we may be with him in his glorious kingdom, this loving God still sees to make miracles happen here on the earth at the critical times in our lives. This, my sisters and brothers, is the good news of our God, who comes to us, the God who invites us to the kingdom in heaven and makes miracles happen. Miracles happen in our lives on this kingdom he rules on earth. Amen.
Amen.